If you don't happen to know us, I'm Joe Tisch and this is Davey. And we've been staying down in LA for some months and we're back now and we'll go back down for about one more month and then come back up permanently. And it's very, very nice to be with all of you again. I'll read this week's readings from Rays of the One Light. By the way, tomorrow we will start a week of inner renewal here in the community. It's basically kind of like a group retreat for the whole community, but we invite those visitors who would like to join us to participate also. Today's topic from Rays of the One Light is the importance of soul receptivity. Truth is one and eternal. Realize oneness with it in your deathless self within. The following commentary is based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Chapter 1 of the Gospel of St. John states, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." This was a passage Paramahansa Yogananda often quoted to his disciples. "Be in tune," he would tell them. "Delusion can't touch you if you will keep in tune. A few of you will fall," he said once, "but it needn't be if you would stay in tune." Of a disciple who became highly advanced, even though she didn't meditate much, he said, "She got there by attunement." To one who found meditation difficult, he said, "I will meditate for you so long as you stay in tune." Truth is a state of consciousness, not a well-worded definition. It is in that consciousness, above all, that our lives are transformed. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita says in the 10th chapter, "To those who are ever attached to me and who worship me with love, I impart discernment by means of which they attain me. Out of my love for them, I, the divine within them, set alight in them the radiant lamp of wisdom, thereby dispelling the darkness of their ignorance. Thus, through Holy Scripture, God has spoken to mankind."
Good morning, also. I'll start by reading from Yogananda's book of prayer poems, Whispers from Eternity. This one is, "Demand to see God in everything." O Father, may I behold thee above, beneath, behind, around, wherever I turn my gaze. Train the children of my senses never to stray from thee, who dwellest at the heart of everything. Turn my eyes inward to thy changeless beauty. Attune my ears to silence, that I may hear thy subtlest music. Breathe on me the heavenly scent of thy sacred presence. Orient-wise, I will worship thee, placing the candles of my five senses on the altar of my love. Thus I will contact thee in the first pale shafts of dawn, absorb thee in the bright light of noon, expand in thee with the hidden glow of twilight, and merge in thee in the silver moonlight. Always will I keep a light on my inner altar, the mystic taper of my love for thee. So our topic this morning, as we've said, is the importance of soul receptivity. And when Yogananda came to the West with this great world mission that has transformed the lives of thousands and thousands of people, Sometimes he spoke to large auditoriums, 5,000 people, and he did what he called his spiritual campaigns. He went back and forth across America. And when you look at, a friend of mine did some research showing actually his daily schedule during some of these periods, and he would have a lecture in the morning and a luncheon at noontime, and then a meeting in the afternoon, and then a lecture again in the evening, and it went on like this for month after month after month. And he said, I don't need to sleep. My enthusiasm to share these teachings is so great. But from all that work, he drew to him the, one might say, the highest souls that were seeking God at this time on this planet in the West. And his foremost disciple, his most advanced spiritual disciple, was a radiant, mystical soul, self-made millionaire from humble circumstances living in the Midwest in Kansas City, Missouri. His name was James Lynn, and Master gave him the name Rajasi Janakananda, which was the name of a great king and saint of ancient India. And when Swami Kriyananda, our founder, and who has taught us the spiritual path for many, many decades, he knew Rajasi, and he said he was a radiant soul. You can see it in pictures of him. But he was a man of very few words. And when he was asked by the other disciples, what is the most important thing on the spiritual path, he would say simply, receptivity. Receptivity. And it's interesting, isn't it, in this passage that Jyotish just read, that Swami mentions twice someone who couldn't meditate very well. And Master said, don't worry, I will meditate for you. Another person who had the same problem, and Master said, just be in tune. And so we need to understand, what is the nature of receptivity? It isn't about doing. That's why I think Swami brought in that distinction between meditating and the effort and just receiving. And as it said in our passage this morning, Master would often quote that passage from the Bible, to as many as would receive him, to them gave he the power to be the sons of God. So how can we understand? Sometimes we get confused and we think, well, I'll serve 24/7 and I'll meditate 3 hours morning and evening and do. But what Swami's saying here is, this is all good, but receptivity is what draws the grace of God and Guru, and that's the most important thing of all. There was, Swami said, when he was with Master sang this Bengali chant, which I don't remember the words in Bengali, but Swami said he heard it only once, but he remembered the words. But the translation is, God is saying through the devotee, O devotee, ask of me salvation, but don't ask of me my love and devotion, because when I give that away, I give myself away. And it's a little puzzling, because you think, well, aren't we supposed to be seeking salvation? I think the distinction that is being made there, again, is salvation. It seems like something we're striving for. We're striving to find salvation, and we have to get from here to there. It has a linear concept of movement. But love and devotion is where we already are. It's starting from the center of our own being. And God is saying to the devotee, if you ask that of me, you already have me. And so it's so important for us to understand how we can deepen our own receptivity. And I'll touch on different thoughts that occurred to me when I was thinking about this subject. The first one is acceptance. Whatever comes, receive it gratefully. The good things, the bad things, the disappointments, the things that seem just what you wanted it to be. But if we can just accept everything, receive it. Receptivity means to receive. And whatever comes from God, we say, that's fine, I'll take this. Some of you know the story that after we had a big forest fire in 1976, and many of us were lost everything we had at that time, and Swami Kriyananda wrote us a little note about a month afterwards. When he first saw us right after the fire, he was very in his spine. He was not giving us much outward sympathy at all because he didn't want us to feel sorry for ourselves. And so he looked at me, and the first thing he said was, "How are you, Davy? Well, that's good." And he just walked right on. But then about a month later, he wrote a little note, and he said, "I'm sorry for the loss that all of you have had to sustain, but always remember what God gives, we take. And take it lovingly, understanding the blessing behind it." And I certainly can say this in my life, and I'm sure it's true of every sincere devotee. Every test, everything that we said, "Oh Lord, please not that," every single one in time becomes a source of great blessing, great good in our lives. And so to accept it and just say, "This is exactly what I needed." And it's always true. It may not feel like it fits, but when we put it on and wear it for a while, it's like, wow, this is great. And there was a story that Swami tells of, I believe it's a true story, of sometimes the saints in India are not what we would expect in our normal rational minds. In fact, when we were driving out of LA on Wednesday morning, we were driving through the very nice neighborhood that we're residing in right now, and everybody's driving around in their BMWs and their Mercedes and so forth. But there was this one man standing on the street. He must have been a homeless guy, and he was all disheveled with long hair, and he had this sort of orange cloth tossed around him, and he was sort of walking, and I thought, gosh, if we were in India, he would just be one of, you know, fit right in there. And but where we are, he didn't. But so there was a guru, a saint in India, who would just had this very crusty exterior, and when people would come up to his little mandir, he would just yell at them, get away, don't bother me, and if they would keep coming, he had some old bricks laying around on the ground, and he would throw bricks at them to drive them away. And he succeeded in driving most people away. But the ones that got it, they would take those bricks and they would bring them home and put them on their altar, and those bricks would turn to gold. And it's just the same with God. He tries, if we just come with curiosity, with wanting, you know, to get a boon or something, he'll say, get away. But if we keep coming, and then he even throws stones at us, and we say, "Thank you. Wow, this is just what I wanted." We put them on the altar of our hearts. That's what the story's about. It turns to gold. But we have to accept. And so that's such an important part of soul receptivity. Another aspect is patience, but alert patience. So this to draw God's grace, to feel his presence, we have to realize it's not going to happen overnight. It won't probably happen in a lifetime or a single lifetime, but or perhaps many. But if we're just patient but alert, watchful, that's in the Bible, there's the parable of the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, and the wise, and they were all, the bridegroom was coming, the bridegroom is God. And they were told that they should stay awake all night and keep their little oil lamp filled with oil, keep the light burning so that the bridegroom would know where to come. And the foolish virgins stayed awake for a while, but then their patience and their alertness faded and they fell asleep. But the wise virgins kept filling up their lamps with oil, and their light was burning bright so that when God came, they were ready. And so it is with all of us. It's kind of a blend. We have to have the endurance of a long-distance runner. We have to patiently wait. I will wait till you come. There's that beautiful stanza in Swami's song, Love is a Magician, which he says is the favorite, his favorite song of everything he's written. And the stanza goes, the words are, how long did I stray through lifetimes away? Imagined you did not care. I know now your smile was mine all the while. I listened and love was there. And so if we just have that patience, but with that watchfulness, Master said, I love this, he said, God could come to you at any moment and you need to make be ready to make the dash for the infinite. And so it's just a wonderful to move slowly, but with the consciousness that any moment that smile will break through the clouds of our consciousness and we'll know that God was always there. But we have to be ready for that. Another aspect of it is, and this necessitates faith, to have joyful expectation. It doesn't matter but how long it takes, but everything we do, we feel, I am ready for God. Here I am. And so it's the balance of patience. In a way, it's impatience to say, when will you come? When? You know, Master would talk about how he would meditate until he felt like his brain would burst with that intensity. But not just with our will, with the calling of our heart, with the strength of our heart. I've always been inspired by the life of Joan of Arc, and what a beautiful and amazing saint she was, and what strength of heart she had. And they said, most of you know the story, when she was betrayed by people, the Dauphin, the Prince of France, who she had put back on the throne, and she was turned over to the English, and one of the dark chapters in Western history, and burnt at the stake as a martyr. But when all of her body, all that was left was ashes, they found her little heart was still there because it was so filled with that strength of devotion and knowing that it doesn't matter how long it takes. I'm ready now. I'm ready, Lord. And there's the beautiful story from India too. There was a great saint, Lord Chaitanya, and he had many disciples, but there was one who everyone recognized that he was the most dear and close disciple of all. And one evening they were all sitting around with Chaitanya, their guru, and asking him, someone began the discussion, Master, will I find God? And Chaitanya would look at one and said, yes, in three lifetimes you will find God. And everyone would go, oh, how wonderful, three lifetimes. And someone else would ask him and he would say, yes, in this lifetime. And oh, how wonderful, how wonderful. But the one, the disciple, the humble one who was just sitting there, not thinking of himself, just absorbing the bliss of being with his master, sitting in the back of the room. They all pushed him forward because they wanted to know, well, what's the master going to say about him? And they pushed him forward, and he didn't want to ask. And Chaitanya looked at him, and he said, ah, my child, you're very blessed. You will find God in 100 lifetimes. And everyone was aghast. They said, oh, my God, how horrible. We all thought he was so close to the goal. And they were all kind of whispering among themselves. But then they noticed that this disciple had gone off, and he was out on the porch, and he was dancing in ecstasy. And they were all confused. And they said, brother, didn't you hear what the master said? And he looked at them and he said, my brothers, didn't you hear what the master said? He said, I would find God. Who cares how long it takes? And at that moment, Chaitanya came out and he said, I wanted you all to see the measure of my true disciple. And he touched him and he was totally absorbed in God's bliss. And so to have that thought, the joyful expectation, I walk with God, I live in God, and any moment, his presence will break through the clouds of my mind, break through the walls that I've built around my heart, and I will know who I am. And to live in that moment, but build a lifetime of that moment. That's what finding God is really all about. Another aspect of soul receptivity is to take out special times in your life where you really work on your devotion, where you don't let any other thoughts enter in. Take periods of seclusion. And just, you know, sometimes we go into seclusion and we think, I've done this, and I imagine others have as well. You make this list of everything you're going to do. You're going to get up here, and you're going to energize here, and you're going to do yoga postures, and you're going to meditate the song, and then you're going to... And then, you know, 4 or 5 days are gone by, and you think, well, I'm not feeling very inspired, and I've checked off everything on my list, but why aren't I feeling inspired? Well, we have to understand when we take seclusion, we have to receive. And finally, after years of thrashing around, I got that. And when I go into seclusion, I just say, okay, Divine Mother, what do you have in mind? What would you like to give me? How do you want to play? Do you want to play through chanting? Do you want to play through reading the autobiography? Should we meditate? But I do it not at her, but with her. And let her guide my seclusion. Let her just say, this is what we're going to do. And then, do you want to go for a walk, Divine Mother? And should we see you smiling at us in every little flower? That would be fun. And so just to receive the forms that God comes to us in. I have to share a little story. I was going back and forth in my mind if I should share it, but I just feel to, because it's sort of silly and personal. But we just returned from Los Angeles, as Jyotish mentioned. And our house, we are blessed with many little friends who live in our house with us, and little mice. And when we're there, we have these little have a heart traps, and we catch them and we let them go. We went through a period where we were naming them. We had so many, we were naming them after characters from P.G. Woodhouse stories. So there's Anselm and Birdie, and on and on and on. But so we got home, and we'd been gone a month, and I thought, well, what are we going to find? And I didn't see much evidence, but then I went into the closet. And I have one of these little things you hang on the closet pole with little plastic pouches that you put your shoes in, you know? And the very top, there were shoes all the way, but the very top I had a pair of shoes, and I got home and I looked and I thought, what happened to my shoes? And they were pouring out with seeds and insulation and acorns, and they'd made nests in my shoes, big nests. And I thought, oh, are there babies in there? But there weren't babies, but there was just these big, big nests coming out. And I happened to mention this to my friend Lalanne, and I got the cutest little, sweetest email from her yesterday. It was a picture, a real picture of this beautiful mother mouse holding this little teeny baby mouse. And the subject line was, nobody can fill your shoes. It was so sweet. But just to see Divine Mother in that little baby mouse being held. And the mother mouse was so, it was amazing. It was like a human mother holding this little baby mouse, and she was so proud of it. Just a little teeny thing. But so when we make the special effort, times to go deep, here we are coming up to Inner Renewal Week, which is our community retreat week. And we create this specially so that we can deepen our receptivity as a group, because when we all do it together, it deepens the experience for all of us. And so let's use the, if we could have a theme for the week, an unspoken theme, let it be this soul receptivity. Try to be very, all the things we're talking about, whatever happens during the week, accept it. And be patient but alert to the possibility of maybe the next meditation is really going to be the one where I feel God's presence. And then be joyful and expect that to happen for you. And make not a deep effort, but a deep consciousness of receiving. Divine Mother has a special gift for every single one of us. A special insight, a special blessing, a special freeing of some knot of karma. And in this week ahead, for those of you who are participating, just wait and see what that gift will be. But expect it to come. Don't doubt that it will come. It will come. And then finally, the things we've been talking about on soul receptivity have been, in a way, more outward. But the real soul receptivity happens on an inner level. When we meditate, we need to be very mindful of when there is a special grace happening. It's not enough just to do the techniques. The techniques won't get you there. That's why Swami said about the two people who had a hard time meditating, Master said, don't worry about it. Be attuned with me. So do your techniques in meditation, but then be very mindful. Let's all do this in our meditations this week for that touch of grace, that whisper. And when you hear it, when you feel it, go deep with that. Don't ignore it. Don't let it waft by you. Those moments are the most important moments of our life. And very often, I know in my own life, oh, I've got to go and get ready and do this. And so you're having a deep meditation and you let it go. But remember the story that Swamiji tells in The Path and in The New Path, young monk. And he would get his lunch every day and put the tray on the table, and then he'd go meditate for a half hour and then come back and eat his lunch. Well, one day he was doing this, but all of a sudden, in his noon meditation, he began receiving a great grace of God. And he felt so still and so blessed. But then in the back of his mind, he was thinking, oh, my lunch is on the counter. It's getting cold. And he said, I'll come back later. And he went out, he left his meditation, and he went and ate his lunch. And he said it was a long, long time before he found that grace again. And so when you feel it, either it could be in your meditation, it could be simply sitting, looking at the sky, it could be in talking with another friend, with a friend. When you feel that, the coming of the Lord, receive it, highlight it, don't ignore it, don't take it for granted. It's why we came into this lifetime, was to receive God's presence in our life. And so go deep with that. Know that when those moments happen, receive them to the full capacity that you are able in your heart, in your mind, in your whole being. And then remember them. Draw from them when life gets dry and life gets hard and all we see around us is disappointment and frustration. Remember, he came. He came once. And if he came once, if she came once, the Divine Mother, she will come again. And our life can be one of remembering, experiencing, receiving that grace, till at the end of it all there is the openness of our heart. That's why Swamiji, I think the chant that he has done over and over these many years, door of my heart, open wide, I keep for thee. We need to live in that state, in that sense of there's no other reality, nothing else is important, because that's the truth. All of this will fade, but our relationship with God is eternal and real, and that's what we have to receive and live in and dwell in that grace.